Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, online at WFHB.org. You're listening to Inside Outdoors.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, glad you could get up and listen to us. This is Inside Outdoors.
Good morning.
Old Buddy Bill.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Don Jordan.
Everybody's going to have to wake up. I'm about half asleep myself. But anyway, good morning, everybody. By golly, you're Don Jordan, you said.
I am, yes.
Yeah, I thought you was. I didn't know for sure.
Yeah, I know my name by now.
Well, I've heard of it several times. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Rich Reardon back here, and it is 60 degrees in downtown Bloomington right now.
Oh, it's been beautiful all week.
It's going to be a high of 86 today, so looking mostly sunny and beautiful next couple days. Actually, next few days.
Supposed to rain a little on Monday, maybe.
We could use a little rain.
We sure could.
Yeah, we could use a little rain. The garden is pretty dry, but it could use a little rain.
Well, you know, that little dab of rain we got last week, I didn't even get enough to register on the rain gauge.
We didn't either. That area right through there where we are, we got just a sprinkle.
Well, I don't know whether you notice it or not, but if you get on the internet and look at the radar, when you see those storms coming across from the west, as they approach Bloomington, they kind of split.
Separate.
And one of them goes to the south of us, and the other one goes to the north
of us. And that's exactly what happened.
It happens every damn time. Pardon my French. Yes.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I was watching the radar, too, and I said, well, we're going to get her. We're going to get it. And I don't know, about a half hour later, I turned to went back and checked it, and shoot, it had split, and one went north, one went south, and we sitting in the dry.
There you go. It happens every time, almost every time. It's not 100%.
Well, you're right, or it'll come in from the west and come to about Stanford and then quit.
Right, it just dissipates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dries up.
There has to be a reason for that, and I think it may be Lake Monroe, you know, the heat sink out there.
I don't know. It could have a bearing on it.
I can't think of anything else. Well, there's the river. There's the White River.
All the water together, I guess, maybe, but I don't know. It's odd.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we were talking about our gardens just before we came on the air. Mine's no good. Yours is doing pretty good.
It's suitable right now, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well,
of course, like I say, we cut ours way down, and we don't have a whole lot of stuff. Just what we, my potatoes, they rotted in the ground.
Did they really?
Yeah. I've only got half a dozen plant seeds that come up out of the potatoes, and
Gee, that's unusual, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I was talking to another family down in Olytic and said they had planted durs twice, and both times they rotted in the ground.
That usually happens when it's like rainy and wet.
It's been rainy and wet.
Well, it was.
When we planted them, it was rainy and wet.
Yeah. Well.
But I didn't try to replant mine. I thought, well, shoot, time you buy seed potatoes and
let them fail again.
Put them out and then fail again. They planted them twice and they rotted in the ground twice. I say, now I got another neighbor there that planted his on Good Friday and he's got all kinds of taters. So
all kinds of
they come up. He didn't have no problem.
Well,
so I don't know. I really can't answer the question. I just don't have potatoes.
Well, that's the way she goes. It's hard gardening down here the last few years.
Yes, it has. Last year was a total disaster.
Oh, yes, it was. And this year's not much better for
this,
me.
This year ain't a whole lot better for, I don't think, anybody. Like I said, ours is doing decent for right now. But
I took the tomato expert's advice, the guy that called in here, and bought a bunch of heirloom tomatoes mm-hmm. on the chance that they would resist this blight more. No.
They don't do it?
They don't.
I wouldn't thought they would have either.
They didn't.
Rich knows all about that heirloom business. Him and his friends is in the heirloom business.
The heirloom?
Uh-huh. Heirloom.
That's a place where you sew blankets out of your wife's long hair.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's they're growing pretty good, not too bad.
All right, have you had any ripe ones?
Not quite. I have on the mini ones, the cherry tomatoes.
Oh, those things are going nuts.
Yeah, I've been eating a lot of those.
Those are the only ones we really have that are doing good, but I noticed that they've got the blight down on the bottom.
I was going to ask you, do they get the blight like the rest of them?
Well,
yes, they would.
Not as bad, but we have them. That tomato plant is in a container on the deck,
uh-huh.
sitting up on the deck. And we have two plants up there, and they're the only two that are really doing very well.
It's, I don't know, it's, seems like you can't have anything anymore. And there's no cure for that blight. That's the problem. I don't know what you do for it.
Well,
nobody else does.
There doesn't seem to be anything. Unless you start growing hydroponic. I think the blight is in the dirt, I've changed dirt and it doesn't seem to help. It
doesn't help.
Maybe all the dirt's got it in it,
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
I really don't know. Lake's down a little.
We were talking about that earlier, Rich and I. Yeah, it is down a little.
Rex Waters stopped by last night.
He did. How's he doing?
He's doing fine. He's doing fine. It's his weekend to work.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And he said that friendship was passable. You can get in friendship, of course. Don't go nowhere, but...
Friendship.
Friendship Road.
Oh, Friendship Road. Yeah. Okay. That's out where he is. Where is that?
Well, that's out here east of town. Belmont.
That's Crooked Creek.
Out in that area.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, the water is going down, but it's still high as far as that is,
I heard somebody say it was down 3 feet. I'm not really sure about that.
It probably is.
Really?
It probably is.
Well, I got the Corps of Engineers thing here if I can get them to answer.
is your computer working this morning?
It finally kicked in, yes. But
you never know, yeah. But anyway, the water's still high, STIP's still closed. He thought that Cutright ramp would be open today, but he wasn't for sure.
Oh, well, that was high water down there.
Yes, it was. And they don't have nowhere for boats to park and stuff. Of course, Morse Creek's open. It's always open.
Yeah. I expect Salt Creek is open.
And Salt Creek's always open, and them's the two that's always open. Of course,
Fairfax might be open. It's pretty steep.
Well, the new one might be. I don't know. Normally, I don't think it used to be.
Well, I don't really go down there too
well. Well, I don't either. It might be open.
My buddy Ron, he got himself a new low John boat,
mm-hmm.
with a nice little 15-horse Mercury on it. And he went out, took it up to Crooked Creek, put in Salt Creek, and worked that up in there fishing a little. I haven't talked to him since he went, but he told me he was going. So, you know, that's pretty good fishing up in there if you got the know-how.
In high water, it is good fishing.
Well, you know, those banks are undercut.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when they were looking for the dead girl?
Uh-huh.
And they drained a long stretch of that creek,
right,
up in there. And if you went out there and looked at it, you could see where those big fish hang out, because up under the bank there's just a tangle of roots and,
uh-huh,
you know, big roots and little roots, you know that's where those fish hang out.
Oh, sure.
So I've heard guys say the best way to do that is to use a little bluegill, throw it out, let it swim into those, in under those banks, mm-hmm. and you'll get a nice fish. Well, of course, getting it out of there,
it's going to be another story.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's right. Well, what else is going on? Oh, squirrel season started yet? It has, hasn't it?
No.
No, not quite.
It's August.
Okay. I thought they might have moved it up this year.
I don't think. Well, yeah, they could have. Not to my knowledge, but.
Not to mine either, really. So I noticed that we're finally getting some nuts.
What kind of nuts?
Spig nuts.
Oh. I don't.
Okay, yeah, I know. Yeah. We have some of those, too.
I thought maybe you run into somebody.
Yeah, all right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I do run into some nuts every now and then.
Uh-huh.
I suppose you do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I noticed there's hickory nuts and stuff like that, walnuts. So we should have some fruit this winter for the squirrels and whatever wants to eat them, I guess.
Yes, our squirrels are pretty raggedy looking this year. You know, we don't have a whole lot of them. And
I don't have a whole lot of them either.
And they're skinny, and one of them has a tail with no fur on it.
Uh-oh.
So,
something wrong somewhere.
Well, they're starving, I would say.
You think that's...
I'd say they're all over my bird feeders. You know,
I wouldn't have thought. I thought there'd been enough feed to.
Well, I would have thought so too, but there wasn't any nuts around until these spig nuts started falling. And there's a walnut tree across the street, and it always has walnuts on it, or usually, so, you mm-hmm. know, it goes year by every other year. But squirrels don't seem to be all that wild about walnuts. Although I've seen them carry them around.
Well, they will carry them. They will eat them, I mean.
They're tough, buddy.
But they like my hickory nuts.
Yeah, they got a nice thin shell on them.
And they like my English walnuts.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Very much.
I bet.
They like them. And I don't know what line they go by, but I'd say probably that English walnut and hickory nuts are top choice.
I'd say they probably
uh-huh.
are. Hickory nuts, they can't stand not eating a hickory nut.
Oh, they got to have a hickory nut.
Yeah.
But there's not very many English walnuts around, so
no, there aren't.
Has to be a hickory nut.
That's because they're English.
Mm-hmm. Right. English walnut.
Well, they have a nice thin shell on them.
Oh, yes.
They're a little easier to deal with than a
and I like
walnut.
Them myself.
Yeah, they're not as strong as a black walnut. You know?
No, but I don't know. I've set out a couple of trees, and one of them died, and the other one's not. This is a male tree, so they don't produce. But it seemed like that they had a little bit of walnut taste to them.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered those trees and stuff and set them out years ago. But it seemed like they had a little bit of a walnut,
black walnut
taste.
Mm. Well,
just a little bit, not much.
That's good if it's just a little bit.
It was just a little bit. It didn't hurt them any. I eat them anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah. They're strong. They are strong if you get those good old black walnuts. I guess you can still sell black walnuts, but, man, I
don't know who buys them now.
I don't know if you have to shell them out first. If you have to shell them out first, it wouldn't be worth my time to...
I don't know where you at. No, I think they've got a huller. If you find somebody that buys them,
right?
They have a huller to hull them all.
I would assume they do.
Co-op used to, before they closed, they used to buy walnuts.
Well, that's a big loss, actually, in town, was Farm Bureau Co-op.
Oh, yeah.
Closing.
Oh, yeah. That was part of the landslide.
Where else would you go to get stuff like that, you know? There may be some other places, but boy, that was handy.
But now you have to go all the way to Mitchell or Ligoti or somewhere to go to. That's about the close. I think the one in Spencer closed, I'm pretty sure. One in Bloomington's closed, of course.
They're all closed. The one in Greene County and Worthington.
Worthington is still open.
Maybe Orleans, but I think they're closed.
I don't know about Orleans.
Used to be one there, but I think it's closed.
Yeah, when you look, well, Mitchell's still down there, so that's probably taken care of. It's pretty good size.
Well, you know, my dad worked for the Farm Bureau Co-op for 47 years, and I know a lot about the Farm Bureau, and it was a good company. They had some really good products back in the day. You know, they had tractors.
Yeah, they had the co-op tractors.
Turned to cockshut tractors.
Cockshuts, yeah.
And they were a Canadian tractor.
Right.
But good tractor. They won plowing contests. I used to go to those with my dad, these plowing contests. And, you know, they get set the tractor, and you've got to plow a furrow, and they measured the depth and the straightness and all that on these furrows. And it was a pretty interesting kind of competition.
Yeah, we used to have them around here.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's not enough tractors to have too many competitions anymore.
I don't know who was actually the sponsor of it. Tom Parker. You remember Tom Parker? Parker Pools.
Parker Pools. Yeah, I kind of remember.
Well, he passed away, and I don't know where it was put on by Ferguson or who put that on, but anyway, me and him got into it, and we won it. Back in, and like I say, they had one about every year.
What tractor were you driving?
Ferguson.
Massey Ferguson.
Uh-huh.
Red?
No, it was the gray one.
Gray.
Yeah.
Gray.
Yeah. It was way back there.
Okay, I got some more tractor brands for you. Minneapolis Moline.
Moline's yellow.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
My dad always liked them. He said they were really strong tractors. They don't make them anymore, but
nope. Well, they've been bought out, but I don't know who bought them out.
Probably White or somebody like that.
They was Oliver and White and Minneapolis they was all bought out, and then there's International and Case, and they've merged, and
Farmall.
Alice Chalmers and
Farmall.
Yeah, Farmall. Well, Farmall International.
Well, I hear music.
I hear music, and then there's no one in there, I don't think.
Yes, he's in there.
Oh, I'm sitting here. I was about to say, I did look up this hunting dates, and it's August 15th for gray and fox squirrel.
Oh, it is?
Yep, through January 21st, 2020.
I'd have missed that, but I was thinking it was the 10th.
Yeah, August 15th through January 21st.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that.
And it does say ruffed grouse is currently suspended. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Since there's probably about 10 in the whole state.
I was right. Going to say, where would you find
one?
Well,
just so you know, they're not hunting them.
Well, good.
Well, it's about time. And, you know, they ought to do that with quail, too.
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, they're Southern
Indiana. Hey, we're going to take our break.
Oh, we're going to take
right
a break.
Back. After this short break. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Right now it is 60 degrees in downtown Bloomington. Mostly sunny today, mostly clear tonight. High of 86. Tomorrow looking good too, about 88 degrees, nice and sunny, partly cloudy Sunday night. Monday, chance of storms. We're looking at a high of 85. Tuesday clearing up again, and Wednesday looking sunny. So back to mid-80s this week. Should be a real nice week. You're listening to Inside Outdoors, and we will be right back.
One year Billy went to camp, bought himself a great big amp. Of his amp, he's awful proud. He turned that amp up awful loud. Hey!
Hey!
Bill!
Bill! Hey there, Bill, what you doing over there?
I like Bill, he's so funny. Let's all pitch in, give him the money. That way he can buy some clothes and he'll go get rid of those. Hey!
Hey!
Bill!
Bill! Hey there, Bill, what you doing?
Hey.
Hey, Bill, where are you at?
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
What you doing over there?
You know what? When I come in, I thought I smelt biscuits and gravy.
Really?
And I think John over at Spencer's making some biscuits and gravy this morning.
Daggone, that's a long way. You must have a good nose.
Must be a good batch.
And man, that odor, that smell just drifts through the air, and he's using an iron skillet, I can tell.
Well, that's the only way.
If you want to make good gravy, yeah. So, and good fried chicken.
So don't you think we ought to have our listeners call in and tell us what they think, who makes the best biscuits and gravy around here?
Well, we could find out where we want to go eat biscuits and gravy, yeah.
Okay, out there in the radio land, our telephone number is 812-323-1200. Give us a call and tell us who you think makes the best biscuits.
I'm going to put my money on John.
On John and
Spencer. I believe he makes the best biscuits and gravy.
And what's the name of his restaurant?
I don't know what he got a restaurant. He's over at Spencer.
This is just his.
He may be coming out his back door. I don't know. I don't think he's got a restaurant.
Oh, okay. Well, this is not a commercial establishment.
Oh, well, we could all go over there and call it commercial. And he'd be tickled to death to have us all.
Well, maybe we ought to do a remote from over there.
Sometime. Yeah.
We don't do those anymore, do we?
Not anymore, No.
Well.
But anyway, somebody will call here in a minute and tell us.
We got John over in Owen County. He calls every week.
Oh, yeah. He keeps us informed and up to date. And I hope he got up this morning. Surely he didn't sleep too late this morning.
Well, I noticed it was dark a little bit later this morning.
Just a little bit?
Starting to move, isn't it?
We've had, 30, a little over 30 days of it now. It's getting shorter and shorter.
It's coming.
And we got to go till December 21st, and then it'll start the other way.
Yeah, but boy, that next 2 months.
It just takes forever for it to change, though.
I hate to even think about it.
Oh, me and you both.
Oh,
yeah.
Buddy. So, Rich, what did you find on my...
Well, I didn't even have to look. One of the stories that I saw this week that was the little girl out in Yellowstone.
Oh, it got hit by the buffalo.
Well, a little bit more than hit.
Well, tossed her into the air.
Into the air.
She was treated and released, though. You know,
that was lucky.
Yeah, right.
No kidding.
Very lucky. Usually they stomp you after they throw you.
And it's too bad because the kid doesn't have any common sense about that thing yet, but the parent should have.
Well, they said in one of the articles I read that there was 50 people within 20 feet of this.
You could see other people kind of
up there on the trail. And
there are signs everywhere.
Yes. Well, you know, tourists are often confused. Often. I'm not sure why they're confused. But they are.
Well, if it costs $30,000 to get a snake bit medicine here, you would imagine if you got trampled by a buffalo, it'd be quite a bit more than that.
Yeah.
At the very least, if you survived.
Buffalo, they weigh up to 900 pounds. These are big animals.
Yeah, and they're kind of mean.
Well, they can be. Most of the time, they just ignore you. But yeah. Every now and then,
right?
You know, you get one with a bad humor, and it's usually one of those lonely bulls, you know, that's out by itself, away from
right.
the herd. There's a lot of those around, and well.
My son was out in South Dakota one time with some friends. I forget where they were going, but they stopped by a, you know, just way out in the middle of nowhere, just stopped to, you know, relieve themselves or something. It was way out in the middle of the prairie, and one came over the hill and attacked their car. They ended up getting in the car, and he was banging into the car and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of people getting that habit to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, buffalo will do that, moose will do that. Moose is bad about that too.
Moose are, I hear, doing good out west this year.
I saw one in your creek by your cabin out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. There's and with a young one.
Right.
And also heard there was two young ones with one of the mama mooses. You know, it used to be that those young moose did not survive more than couple months because there's some grizzly bears around that ate them, right? Well, there hasn't been a grizzly bear in Cook City, Silvergate for at least 2 years.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe longer than that.
What's happened to them, I wonder?
Well, the theory, people who live out there think that the Fish and Wildlife removed them, wow. Took them to Bozeman, as they say.
Surely not.
Well, it's possible. It's probably, see, they had there's a campground right outside of town up there. A guy in a tent about 3-4 years ago, maybe longer than that, 5 years ago, got killed, got half eaten by a grizzly bear and its cubs. And ever since that happened, see, that's right on the edge of town. Ever since that happened, the grizzly bears have been scarce. So I don't know what else would. Because there's supposed to be a bigger population of grizzly bears in Yellowstone. Not sure what's going on there.
I don't know.
But
I don't either.
It wouldn't be unusual for them to do that because, you know, when they used to feed the bears?
Mm-hmm.
When they stopped feeding the bears, locals there say every day you'd see helicopters flying off to Bozeman with a grizzly bear slung under it. You know, they always took them to Bozeman to euthanize them.
Uh-huh.
Right. So it wouldn't be unusual for them to eliminate some grizzly bears.
I'll be darned.
I don't think too many Chinese tourists are interested in getting eaten by a grizzly bear.
Well, no, probably not.
It's kind of funny about that. You know, there's always been a lot of foreign people, you know, from other countries.
Oh, yeah. Japan.
Right. I was
China.
Just going to say, The Japanese used to be like the number one visitors, right?
Uh-huh.
And before that, it was the Germans. And I think maybe the Germans are still at it. But if you go into West Yellowstone now and go into one of the boot stores or one of the Western shops, you know, they have a lot of them there, all you see is Chinese people now. But it used to be they were Germans.
All but darn.
They really like that Western paraphernalia.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, good for them. They want to be little big men, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
So well, I've seen a few bear stories on your... You got all kinds of stuff about bears on your Facebook stuff this week. I see the guy that saved the 400-pound black bear down in Florida.
Oh, yeah, the biologist.
That's pretty great story.
Yeah, that was a good story. This guy, a biologist, they were doing a study, I guess.
Right.
Kind of a grizzly bear. Or it was a black bear, actually. And he darted this bear, and it ran out into the water. And he said, oh, well, he's sedated. He's going to drown. So this guy went out in the boat and jumped out of the boat, got a hold of this bear, held him up out of the water, and almost carried him, kind of dragged him through the water back to the bank where he survive. And I say that guy deserves a round of applause.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm not going to grab a hold of a black bear, even if it is, sedated,
because he could open his eyes.
Oh man. Well, anyway, that was a good story. I like to see stuff like
that. Now, what part of Florida was that in?
I don't know.
Don't remember.
I don't remember.
I'll look it up here. It's I may not know the exact town, but let me see.
Down south, anyway.
Well, it just says Florida.
It looked like an awful big bear for a Florida.
Alligator Point, Florida.
Oh, Alligator Point, that's up in the Panhandle.
Yeah.
That's where most of the bears are, yeah. Although there are other places where they are. Osceola Forest. And
right, because that's not really too far from the mountains up in Georgia and everything, if I remember correctly.
No, it's not that far. But there's always been bears in Florida, mm-hmm. and usually they're kind of pitiful looking, little.
Yeah, well, like the deer, they got the little, what do they call them?
Key deer.
Little bitty things.
Yeah, they're about the size of a Great Dane.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well.
Yep, that's just about the size of it. I don't know where we've got our black bears here in Indiana yet or not.
We haven't heard any more about
them. They seem to show up now and then.
They swim across the river from Kentucky, be my guess. I can't imagine where else. There aren't any in Illinois, I don't believe.
I don't think so either.
In Ohio.
Of course, they are up in Wisconsin and up in there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Plenty of black bears.
I don't know. They almost have to come out of Kentucky or down in that area.
Yes, there's quite a few of them down there, land between the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And some elk, too.
Yeah, they've got elk down there now.
So there you go. So what time? What kind of fishing we got going this year? Do you think what time? What do you think's hot right now?
Well, right now,
channel catfish.
I've been seeing a lot of channel cats coming up on some of these Facebook groups I'm involved
that's
in.
That's the most I've heard of being caught is catfish.
Right. It was so hot.
And several people have went catfishing and. Now, I haven't heard a whole lot on the crappie or bluegill.
Or bass, actually.
Or bass, yeah.
There's been bass caught up north. You know, they're catching them up north. Of, uh-huh. But I don't believe they're doing so good down here.
Quinn Mills, he always comes down in the spring and goes crappie fishing, but he didn't come down this year due to the fact the water was so high.
Uh-huh.
And then he had some, we talked to him the other day, Clarice called him and to see if he was all right, because we hadn't saw him all day, year yet. And he had some other things going, and family things going, grandkids and one thing and another.
Mm.
So he's always my barometer on how the fish are doing and where, you know, how big they are and if they're biting good and stuff, but... I've lost my contact till he gets back in the groove and the water goes down.
Well, I got to say, you know, this kind of brings up a difficult subject, but, you know, my contact on walleye, the only guy I really knew that fished for walleye at Monroe Lot, he became a member of the political party that's now in Washington, D.C., that's now in the White House, and... For some reason, that ruined our friendship, and I don't see this guy. I don't see him at all anymore. I don't hear from him. I don't talk to him. It's really sad. That's about the fourth or fifth person, a friend, a good friend for a long time, that I've lost because of this politics stuff, and it's really aggravating.
Yes, it is.
Well, hey, we got a phone call. Maybe it'll be something to cheer us up.
Okay, let's hear it. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. How you guys doing? Why are you up so early?
Well, why are you up so early?
Yeah, how come you got up this morning so early?
To listen to us, I guess.
That's personal, but... I called a couple months ago, I guess. I have my in-laws live south of St. Louis, and... I was the one that was telling you they got all this armadillo roadkill there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they're talking about how they haven't found their way on this side of the river because maybe they didn't figure out how to cross a bridge or something. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
First of all, I think the biscuits and gravy.
Ah.
It's hard to find good biscuits and gravy, so if I really get a craving for it, I just go to Bob Evans.
Bob Evans. Okay.
Evans. because a friend of mine who's an excellent cook, she tried to duplicate the gravy, and she thinks that they use ham juice in the
ham juice.
Ham juice.
Wow.
And that's how it has that kind of good saltiness to it, and it. Anyway, I put ketchup on mine, so she.
You put ketchup on your biscuits and gravy?
Yeah.
Oh.
My dad always did that, and I just always did it too. So.
Is that Bob Evans in Bloomington?
Oh, they're all the same, I think.
I mean, the one you're talking about.
Well, I've eaten at the one in Columbus the most, but they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. But.
Well, I'll have to give them a chance sometime. I mean,
yeah,
I don't go in there too often.
Start with a half order and see what you think.
Right.
Also, my in-laws in Missouri, they were at church, and this fellow at church was kind of bragging that on his property he had a black deer, and they kind of thought, well, yeah, that's nice. But he brought pictures in of it. And there's a picture of the mother and the two fawns. And sure enough, one of them was black. And they were still young enough to have their spots on. And the black one had, its spots were like a gray. But I looked it up online, and there's some kind of anomaly. You can just Google black deer, and you can find out the scientific name of it.
Hey, I got to stop you for a second. We're about to take a quick break, so can you just hang on for a second and finish it up in a minute?
Okay.
Hang in there. Hold on.
Sure.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we're going looking for that biscuits and gravy you've been smelling somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's downtown here somewhere.
Well, could be. Could be.
You never know.
I think it's the cozy.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Today it is, right now, 60 degrees in downtown Bloomington. It's going to be a high of 86 today, and a low of 64 tonight. Sunny and partly cloudy by Sunday night. Pretty much the same temperature, nice and sunny all weekend. And then Monday we have a chance of storms. Likely going to see a little bit of rain by Monday night. Tuesday it's going to clear up again, and then Wednesday looking sunny again, and running all about mid-80s the whole week. So beautiful week here, and leading into right straight smack dab into August. You're listening to Inside Outdoors.
It ain't a bunch of beans they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs.
Biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. For biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Yeehaw. Yum, yum.
Okay.
And we're back.
We're back. Okay. Is our young lady still on the line there?
Yeah, I believe she is. Hello. You still there?
Hello.
Are you still there?
Hey, good morning.
Talk
to us, honey.
Maybe she's calling back. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I hear the telephone ringing.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's going on out there in the technical room? Is he out there pushing buttons?
He's out there pushing buttons and talking on the telephone, and we may have a caller. We don't ever know.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, there you are, honey.
How you doing? What's your name, by the way, first name?
I'm Loretta.
Loretta. Hi, Loretta.
Hi. Where was I? Oh, about the black deer.
The deer. Yeah,
yeah. Black deer. Yeah, we was interested in that.
Yeah, you can Google black deer, and it'll tell you about the scientific thing. They're actually more rare than albino deer.
Uh-huh.
But the guy had a picture of it, and they brought it home so I could see the picture. And it was really cute. It just so happens that one of my neighbors, I was showing it, my neighbor is deer crazy. And I took it over and showed it to him, and he thought that was really cool. And his brother actually is the maintenance man for Tony Stewart's ranch. You know, Tony's got some kind of a extravaganza over there in Bartholomew County, where they're raising these gigantic, they're breeding deer for, I don't know, trophy animals or something. But he took the picture and showed it to Tony, and he immediately went and bought a bunch of black deer sperm trying to raise it. But I guess that's really not how they come into existence. It's strictly a mutation.
Right.
Thing. But of course, you know, Tony Stewart, he's gonna try to be the first on his block with a black deer.
Right. He'll try anything.
But it was really cute. I used to live in South Bend, and of course they have the black squirrels on the Elkhart side of the river. But they didn't. Apparently, they'll cross the bridge either to get to the South Bend side.
Well, those black squirrels are kind of scattered all around up in there, up in Michigan too. You know, I've been in a few parks up there where they had those black squirrels.
I don't know that I've ever heard of a black deer.
I haven't either.
I think she's the first one.
Although,
that
a couple of years ago, I was driving up 231 over, you know, Putnam County, over in there, and here comes four or five real dark deer. They weren't black, but they were extremely dark, much darker than a deer that you would usually see around here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought at the time, well, that's kind of unusual, but didn't think too much more about it. Now we got black deer, so Loretta has.
All the deer hunting I've done out west and here in Indiana and Missouri and where have you, I have never seen a black one. Now, albino, once in a while you'll see one, but a black one, I have never seen a black one that I know of.
Well, I guess there's a down in Texas somewhere, there's a of course, I didn't study on these, but there's a pocket of, I don't know, several hundred miles where it seems like there's more of them there than anywhere else. So they're studying that. But as it turned out, the fellow that had the black deer on his property, I guess word got out, and the DNR, Missouri, came in and rounded it up with it. Pick it up to Independence to some preserves type place. So I guess they've got their own ideas of what they're gonna try to do with that. Who knows? But anyway, I just thought I would tell you about the black deer, and so if you ever see one, you'll know that you've seen something rare.
Yeah, it will be, because we appreciate you bringing that up, because like I said, I've never seen one of all the hunting I've done, and
well, me either.
And Don hadn't either, so that was a very interesting story.
Well, okay. Well, you can talk about that over your biscuits and gravy later on.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Right.
By the way, I wanted to put in my vote for biscuits and gravy. I'm saying the Cozy restaurant out here on 3rd Street in Bloomington has pretty good.
Are they pretty good?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of sausage in it.
Yeah, a lot of sausage in it and big helping.
Well, there's a few places around, but Buddy Bill, yours was the bait barn was where to go. I'm afraid that pretty much holds the record.
Yeah, your biscuits and gravy were really good.
Well, we tried.
Yeah,
we tried, and I appreciate your.
I think a lot of people appreciated that.
Right. Yeah, they still holler. I oughtn't to say this probably on radio. We're trying to get together once a month and on a Saturday and get everybody coming in and just make a big batch of biscuits and gravy and visit. And,
well, there you go. That's the place to go.
Just
then.
Like old times.
You have to let us know if you get that together.
We've been so busy this summer with yards and raining and everything that we haven't had time to even. I've got all the ingredients I need. I've ordered them in. So we'll do that one of these days. I don't know exactly when. It'll probably be when it cools down a little more.
Yeah.
Well, you got
an idea. They have these chili cook-offs and stuff and these barbecue cook-offs.
Uh-huh.
You guys ought to start your own biscuits and gravy.
There you go,
Well,
Bill.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, right. we could taste them down here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a great day.
All right, thanks for calling.
Off your NAS, so. I'll listen to you next week.
All righty.
Thanks a lot
for calling, hon. Very interesting. Yeah, well, she's got a lot of good ideas, you know what?
Yeah.
She come up there with a biscuit cook-off, like a squirrel cook-off.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't even thought of that, but...
There you go. By the way, you said you're going to have your biscuits and gravy cook-off on Saturday morning?
On a Saturday.
Well, you mean Saturday late morning.
Well,
because you're here.
Yeah, but I might not be here.
Okay.
Well, I think we should have the cook-off right there, you know. That way you wouldn't have to do as much work. Get everybody else to bring theirs
in. It depends on when Sunday, when Claire decides where Saturday or Sunday. I just said Saturday, but she may have a different she may have a Sunday morning. But everybody goes to church, majority goes to church on Sunday. So you got to kind of work around a day that people are more available.
Well, you could just have a biscuits and gravy cook-off for backsliders.
Backsliders. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Backsliders it is.
Hey, where can you see that movie I saw on your Facebook, the Yellowstone murder mystery from like 1936?
I don't know.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that either.
It's called Old Yellowstone.
Right. They're on Facebook. Old Yellowstone is
right,
and
but I didn't know there was a movie. It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't really know where you can see it.
Hmm.
Yeah, they have a lot of pictures that forever Yellowstone.
You don't hear much about Old Faithful anymore.
Well, it's so spectacular and always has been that people just kind of overlook it.
Overlook it, yeah. You hardly hear anything about it.
Right, there's that one.
Go ahead.
There's that one geyser that used to only go off, like every two or three years. And I think it's Steamboat Geyser, I believe.
Oh, Steamboat, yeah.
But it's been going off with regularity here this year, and they've had five, six eruptions of that.
Hmm.
Of course, now if you wanted to see that, you'd have to wait around there for quite some time. Even if they're still going, if they're going off five or six times a month, that's a lot of waiting to see one of those. But it's the highest geyser in the park. So, it'd be worth seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
About the best thing about Old Yellowstone now is that you can go up to the lodge, go up to the balcony up there where they have a little convenience bar. And you can tipple while you're watching Old Faithful go off. Yeah.
Hmm. Move it on.
Have a little fun up there.
Hmm. Have you ever I was getting ready to ask you, have you ever stayed in the lodge there?
Oh, when I was a kid.
I've been up there, but I've never stayed in it.
Matter of fact, I posted a picture of the interior of the Old Faithful Lodge in 1909 here the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked just like that when I was there in 1954 with my mom and dad.
Oh, darn.
It looked just, I think it probably still does today.
Probably. Well, I don't think they've changed it much.
Well, it's still got those log walls and had a wash stand with a pitcher of water and a wash bowl in it. Things were a little different back in those days.
Oh, yes.
But it sure looked homey.
Oh, yeah.
Makes you feel good just to see those places. I remember walking into one of those when I was a kid, and I was, wow, I wished I lived here, you know? Yeah. Anyway, it's a wonderful place, and they've got, you know, it's going to be a new record of visitors this year, I'm sure, again.
It's a very popular place. Always has been, really. I mean,
2 million people.
Yellowstone has always been a very popular national park.
Is that an expensive proposition to get a room there, you think?
No.
No?
No. It's more than you might pay if you were out in West Yellowstone at a motel.
Right.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, that lobby at Old Faithful Inn is awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's just awesome and worth your seeing it. You know, especially if you're an old guy, if you're over 65, you can get that park pass, you know,
mm-hmm. Right.
Unlimited. And they cost $80 now, though.
They do.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I give 10
for
mine.
That's what I gave. That was last year. They raised it to $80. You know.
Man,
it's still a good deal.
It's still a good deal if you use the parks. But, boy, that's a big jump at one time.
Well, and that thing's good at BLM. It's good at Corps of Engineers. Any federal
installation,
right, you can go to with a tremendous half, 50% discount.
Hardin Ridge down here.
Right.
It's good there. I've used mine down there.
Well, that's really one of the best deals in outdoor recreation there is around.
I don't know what the Lake Monroe State of Indiana's DNR yearly permit is.
Well, I just saw it the other day. It seemed like it was $70 for the yearly permit.
For the yearly?
For all the parks. It seemed like it.
And do they have a lifetime one?
I don't know about that. I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think they do either.
Of course, you got your lifetime fishing license for old codgers.
Yeah.
You know, which is a heck of a deal because it never expires. You don't have to worry about buying a fishing license every year.
Right.
That's pretty handy.
How old do you have to be? How much of an old codger do you have to be?
65.
65. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're not qualified yet.
Not yet.
Well, I'm sure you're closing in on it.
And no, I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, you don't want to talk about that, huh?
Well,
he doesn't want anybody to know how old he is.
No. Well, I'm closing in on 61, let's put it that
61.
Way.
61?
Yeah.
Well, I would have never guessed.
That ain't too bad. You're just a young codger.
Yes,
that's just a
pup.
Yeah, you're just a pup.
Well, oh, pups. I'm thinking.
You got a dog?
No. But I used to have dogs. I used to have bird dogs.
Well, I was going to say, you used to have bird dogs, right.
No birds, no bird dog, you know?
Well, what's the use? I mean, other than just to have a bird dog.
Well, what really killed us here down here in this part of Indiana, especially over west of us where there used to be lots of quail, was that flood in, gosh, when was that? That must have been about...
Ooh, that's been a good while back.
Around 2000 or maybe even before that.
Probably around that area.
Yeah, around 2000. And that flooded out that entire prairie over west of Worthington, mm-hmm. which was just loaded with quail. And they didn't have any place to go, so they died.
Yeah, right.
And they haven't come back.
And they probably won't.
Probably won't. The habitat is piecemeal now. If you're going to have quail, you have to have lynx, you know, places for them to move from one field mm-hmm. to another. Fence rows are gone.
Yeah,
the little woodlots are gone.
Dozed them all out.
Right.
Cleared them all out.
So that pretty much cuts their transportation routes down to zero.
Zero, yes.
And you get wiped out in one place, you're not going to get any more quail coming in there.
And the thing of it is, you can't raise these tame ones and turn them loose because they don't do any good.
They're stupid. They're not wild.
No, they're tame, really, and they just can't protect yourself.
Now, that's what you remember Cheney when he shot his buddy in the face.
Yeah,
That's what they were hunting. Those were pen-raised quail.
Was they?
They take them out and turn them loose in this one spot, and they don't go anywhere, right?
Right.
So they knew right where they went, right where to drive it. Mm-hmm. And here's where the quail, you'll find the quail. And sure enough, there they are.
That's kind of like the pheasant hunts, yes. down at
Put and Take, Glendale.
Glendale, yeah.
Right. I went on one of those ones.
I did too.
Boy, that was the only one I needed to go on.
Oh, if that wasn't hilarious.
Oh,
we sat there and watched the guy turn them loose.
Uh-huh.
And that was our area to hunt, and we just pulled up there, and he was just accidentally unloading them at that time. And heck, they was right there in the trees.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
On the ground. And I thought, well, man, you can get two here easy.
Well, I made the mistake of taking my bird dog down there. That's the only time I went. And, there was so much action going on, so many people, so many other dogs and going on. Poor old Brandy, he didn't know what to do. And, like you say, the pheasant were running around on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you wanted to shoot one of them, you had to shoot it like a rabbit.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go back.
That's the only time I went down there, just that one time.
Some guys like it. You know, if you want quail or pheasant to eat, that's probably
about as good as any.
That's the only one you're probably going to have. You know?
But that's just not hunting.
No.
It's just like that canned hunting.
It is canned hunting.
It's the same thing. Hey, what?
Hey, to interrupt, but we're about out of time right now.
Already?
Yeah.
I'm just getting started.
We'll be back next week.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks to Loretta for calling in, and by golly, we learned a little something there this morning. And everybody have a good week, and we got to get out of here. Sorry. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.